So I would just like to welcome you here. If it's your first time, I'd like to welcome to everyone that's joining us online. We're in the last What is it? We're in our last sermon about stewardship. Kia ora, kaitia kitangi. Kitanga. I know how it is. I had this nailed all throughout the week. I don't know, it's something about up here, but Priscilla's conquered that. Anyway, so we are here to talk about the gifts. What are the gifts? Where did the gifts come from and what are they for? So our gifts or talents are given to us to grow the kingdom, to spread the good news, for encouragement, for personal growth, to show God's glory, and to grow the body of Christ, just to name a few things. So today we've got quite a bit on our plate, so I hope you guys are hungry. You guys hungry?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to talk about motivational gifts. Manifestation gifts and ministry gifts. And my primary source is, I've done a study on this through the C3 College by Amanda Ancliffe, and it's quite current, all the stats and stuff that I'm bringing from 2022. Amanda Ancliffe, she's awesome. You should check her out. So what the purpose of today is that I want you to discover what your gifts are. Because when you discover your gifts, you become empowered and alive. And when you become empowered and alive, then the church becomes empowered and alive.
Yeah, come on.
And when the church is empowered and alive, that's when there's breakthroughs, that's when there's growth, that's when we reach our community, you know, where everything's running in sync. So that is the purpose of our gifts, so that we can be like a well-oiled machine.
Mm.
Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." So I believe he's saying this concerning spiritual gifts. It's because there's a little bit of, I wouldn't say confusion, but there's questions around it. Maybe it hasn't been completely understood in that time. So he's saying, look, concerning the spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, that's us, I do not want you to be uninformed. So a positive statement on that is he's more or less saying, I want you to understand. I don't want you to get this one wrong. And the reason I reckon Paul is saying that is because spiritual gifts are important. And understanding them is important. And it's something that we need to get right.
Good job.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Yes. Importance. So let's see what the Bible says importance. Is it really important? Or 1 Corinthians 12 verse 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members," I'll just stop there. A member is someone who joins something and becomes part of something. If you're a member of the RSA, woo, cheap things. You're a part of something.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm a member here. Or if you're a part of a cricket team or something like that, you've got a top on, you represent, you're a member, you're part of something. So it's not some willy-nilly thing. You know, "For just as the body is one, but has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is in Christ." So he's saying there's many members to make up the whole body of Christ. And in verse 17 and 18, he says, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?" So when I read that, this is what I hear. If the whole church were a door greeter, where would the sense of praise and worship be?
Yeah, yeah.
And if the whole body were praise and worship, where would the sense of teaching be? Where would our children's church ministry be? Where would our hospitality be? Where would the seats be? We'd just be standing here because we'd have no one to put it out, you know? So he's clearly saying that the importance of it is quite big. And he's using the reference as a body. So we all have bodies. Do we all have bodies? It's important. Every single part is important. And at the end there it says, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, just as he chose. So he chose. It's not Glenn didn't come up with this. Paul didn't come up with this. This is God, and he chose to use the analogy of a body. So in opening, every single person, every gift, every part of the body here is significant. Not only is it significant, but it's vital.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely necessary. 1 Peter 4, 10-11, he's got some stuff to say about it as well. Quite a lot of people got quite a lot to say about this. Each of you, that's you and me, should use whatever gift. So when he says whatever gift, I think that he's saying whatever gift, because there's a few of them, right? So whatever your gift is, because there's not just one or two, there's like an array of gifts. So whatever your gift is that you have received, there's an action in receiving. So I've got my keys here to my truck. So it's like, Claudia, as a gift, I'm giving you my truck keys. There is an action that Claudia needs to do to get my truck keys. I'll have those back, baby. Now, don't receive them. Claudia, I have a gift of truck keys there. There's no action there. It takes an action to be able to get it. And some of the gifts that we're going to talk about aren't just received. They're also inside us. So this is before Claudia was created. Just roll with me. I've put my truck keys inside of her pocket that she doesn't know about. And now here I am. I'm talking about the gifts and stuff, and she's reading in the Word, and she hears the Holy Spirit say, close your eyes. And Claudia, I have imparted a gift of my truck keys inside you. Now,
it's a good job, mate.
Claudia has to, she's got a choice. She can like, no, that was my brain that said that. Or she can take an action and search and find like, oh. Just like it said in his notebook, he's given me keys. But what I'm trying to get at is you receive. You don't just kind of get them. There's an action that's taken for you to receive it. So the gift that you have received to serve others, that's the next bit. So Claudia, my truck that you have received is to what?
Use?
To serve others. To serve others. We didn't practice this, so I love this. Practice this, mate. It just flows off the top of my dome, I'm afraid. So to serve others. So now that she's discovered these keys, which I either gave her or she discovered because she listened and had heard God speaking, she can now use. So she can choose to park it up in the garage. Like, cool, I've got me a truck. Sweet as. I'll pull that out whenever I need to do stuff for me. Or she can use it for others.
Yeah.
So-and-so needs that to move stuff from there to there. I can pick up a whole bunch of people. I can use that. So that's what it means to receive and serve others as a faithful steward, because it's my truck.
Yeah.
My truck. And I'm going to ask her, when her time comes, say, what did you do with that truck that you stewarded? And just like Glenn said, did she park it away? Well, here it is, I parked it away. I put $5 gas in it because I used it like twice, but I didn't really want to, you know, here's your truck, take it back. And I won't be impressed. I'm like, actually, I gave you a gift, you know. Or did she use it? She's like, oh, I filled that thing up every week. Oh, so-and-so needed something lifted and this and that. I use my talent, you know, use what you've given me to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in various form, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very word of God. If, you know, and I'm sure that's what me and Glenn try, that's what we try and do, eh, Glenn?
Attempt.
Oh, that's what we attempt to do. That's what me, you know, Michael attempts to do, that's what George and stuff, that's what we all attempt to do. And if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides.
Yeah.
Why does he say the strength that God provides?
Because it takes a bit of work, you know.
Yeah.
But God's like, I've got you. I've got you. Just as I've given Claudia keys, you know, I've got pre-workout. Pre-workout waiting for you guys. I've got you.
Yeah.
You know, those who served with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The end game of what we're doing here, guys. You know, so that people can see through us, through Claudia, through Michael, through George, through us, you know, with the strength of God giving us our pre-workout so we can get through this. Not get through it, because you find it's enjoyable too. I shouldn't say that. And it shows that our God is praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yes. Cool. And then in 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul is talking to Timothy. So Timothy's like his apprentice that he's taught him all this stuff, and he's going to be handing it over to Timothy. And what does he say? He says, Timothy, do not neglect your gift. So before I go, got a few tips for me. Oh yeah, do not neglect your gift. And in 2 Timothy 1:6, he says, Timothy, I remind you. I remind you, fan into flame the gift that God has given within you through the laying of hands. I love it how they choose different analogies to describe it, to fan into flame. Fan into flame. And I love it because the best thing about fanning something into flame, especially if you're out camping or something, is you just go, and then it just goes into a roaring fire, eh?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. I tricked you. No, it doesn't. To fan into flame, you gotta. Got ya. You gotta fan it a little bit. And the cool thing about fanning into flame is you can actually see it as you give it, it responds really well. You're like, oh, okay, that's it. And there's a little bit of work there, and then all of a sudden it goes poof.
Yeah.
So the perfect analogy, you know, I get very excited when I'm fanning a flame, an ember.
Yeah.
Because from the very first, it goes, and it gets you excited from the very get-go. And that's what our gifts do, to fan into flame.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to use that gift.
Yeah, come on.
Going to give it a little blow on it. And immediately, there's like a, oh, okay, there's a little response there. So he's telling Timothy, fan into flame. And once you've got a flame, you know when you've got a flame with your gifting, you know. Claudia, you know, there's times where it's been fanned into flame, eh? Healing and stuff. And you know when it's a flame, and that's when it gets really exciting. That's empowering. You get empowered. The church gets empowered. We all go together as one super oiled machine. That's just... And that is what it's about. Cheers, my flame. all right. So we're going to move on to the motivational gifts. So if you turn with me to Romans 12, verse 3 to 11. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, see, the message is all over the place, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, through many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts or encourages, in his encouragement. The one who contributes in generosity, the giver. In generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy cheerfully. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another in brotherly affection, because we're joined to each other, members, and sisterly. And I love this bit. Outdo one another in honour.
Yeah, beautiful.
You know, oh, thank you. Glenn, thank you so much for this or that you bring forth. No, thank you. Let's outdo each other in encouragement. Because we all love encouragement, right?
Yeah.
Hey, when someone encourages me, I'm like, man.
Right.
You know, so outdo each other. And what perfect way, if you think about a well-oiled machine or rugby team or something, is to encourage. The way you passed that ball and tackled that guy onto his head and nearly broke it, great. And the whole team feels great. They're like, they encourage people.
Yeah.
Don't be slothful in zeal.
Do not be slothful in zeal.
In zeal land, too.
In zeal. Do not be slothful in zeal land. Be fervent in the spirit of the Lord. So with that zeal, that zeal that you've got,
come
do
on.
Not be slothful.
Yeah.
You know?
Hanging on the tree.
Yeah, I see Doug at the door. Like, oh my gosh, he just makes me feel so good, you know? He's doing things with zeal. Hey, how are you? Oh, yeah. You know? With zeal. The motivational gifts are what motivates you. And these are what's inside of you. These were given to you before you're created. We've got a list of them up there. Could I grab the list?
Yep.
There they go there. Those were ingrained in you before you were created. These are the gifts from the Father. These are available for everyone, saved and unsaved. And you can see these in children growing up. You're like, oh, look, little Timmy's going to be a leader. You know? Or like, oh, little Jenny, she's so kind-hearted, you know? Very rarely, though, do you see, like, oh, Ian, oh, he's going to be so prophetic. Which I think would be cool. Yeah. The reason they don't say that is because they're probably not aware of them. But those are each of our gifts that are inside us, that you have, each and every single person here.
Yeah.
You don't need to qualify or something. These are freely given. These are freely inside you. So you need to figure out what they are. I've done mine, and I found out what mine were. And it's so cool. So let's quickly run through a few of them. Prophecy. 12% of the population are prophetic. And that's one who clearly sees, proclaims, and promotes the will of God. He usually sees good or bad, black or white, in God's will or out of God's will.
Or she.
She. The server, 17%. Are people as servers. This person renders practical service. Servers love to help. Servers come with the attitude of, what can I do? I don't need to know the God. I just need to, just give me something. What can I do practically? Excuse me. And they are genuinely caring people, and they look for opportunities to help. Like, oh, he needs help. Okay, going over there. Teachers. Now, only 6% are teachers. A teacher researches and teaches the Bible. A teacher loves to research and communicate God's word and search for the truth in everything they encounter in life. Investigate, research, seek out. You know, and you can usually tell these, you can usually tell the teacher types because they're like, okay, I think I'm going to check that out for myself. Teachers don't just like go, oh, is that what it is? Yes, sweet ass. You know, you're already thinking, you know, you're going to come across which one you are, but you're already thinking of, oh, so-and-so's like that. That's why it tells us to bear with the other parts of the body. Now it makes understanding, you know, like, okay, that's because so-and-so's a teacher. That's why he seems so not listening to what I say.
Yeah, that's right.
As a teacher, give him a break. And I say that because I'm a teacher. Encourager, 16%. They encourage personal growth in people. I love these people. They love to bring people to Christ.
Yeah.
They see opportunities to encourage people. They're like cruising around like, oh, who needs some encouragement? They love to look for opportunities to encourage people about who they are in Christ and what they do. You know, you're such a mighty man in Christ. You know, I see you doing this encouraging. I can see you doing this. They seek out and search. Giver. Now, the giver is 6%. They share material assistance and resources. They love to share time, talent, money, resources, energy, and means to further the gospel. They're the ones that aren't like, oh, I don't like that giving thing. They're like, no, give, you know. Like, that's what they find joy out of, you know. You know, it's not me. I don't find joy out of, like, looking where I can give, you know. But there are a bunch out there that do. Leaders love to organize, direct, orchestrate, lead others to a goal or an outcome. They have a broad sight for a vision. Like, oh, I can see that. Like a big thing that needs to be pulled off. They can see that. I can see that. They can see a whole lot of moving parts. Whether it's, you know, someone who's not will be like, what? How the heck are we going to do that? They're like, no. If we just do that, I can see that. So they see, yeah, they see broadly for a vision and how to orchestrate it. Mercy. People who have the gift of mercy provide personal and emotional support. They show compassion, love, and care to those in need. You know that true passion, that true love, when you can tell that someone really has compassion for you. You can tell those other, you know, teachers that don't really like, oh, well, I kind of, you know, if you can do this and that. Well, but the mercy person, they will recognize and they are moved by your hurt. They're like, oh, like I feel that as well. Oh, my gosh. So those are roughly the gifts. I want you to kind of think about, you know, which one am I? And you can go online. You can just type in, well, this is what I love about Google, C3 online spiritual gift questionnaire, and it just comes up. I advise you to do one, they are so good. So here's a scenario that might help you. We've all been invited to Romney and Amelia's for dinner. This is also prophetic. Prophecy raining down here. Romney's just put on this mean spread of a barbecue. Burn the sausage a little bit, but we'll forget about it. A mean spread. And we're like, well, and Amelia has just spent like her whole day on this, oh, lip-smacking, delicious dessert. And then she brings the dessert out and she falls off the plate and goes everywhere. The prophetic person will say, oh, I saw that coming. The server will say, oh, let me help you to clean that up. The teacher will say, you know, it's quite a slippery dessert there and I probably needed more than a standard issue plate, yeah, you know. The encourager will be like, oh, not to worry. We had an amazing main meal and there's still ice cream to eat. The giver will be, I will gladly run out and quickly buy another dessert.
Yeah.
The leader will be, Hey, Zane, can you pick that up? Aldery, if you grab that plate, I'll go grab a cloth. Chelsea, if you could shoot up and grab another dessert, that would be great. The mercy, person who shows mercy will be, oh no, what a shame, Amelia. Thank you for all the effort that you put into making that beautiful dessert. Cool, eh? Cool story, bro.
What date are you coming around?
Well, prophetic. 2 weeks. No, prophetic's not mine, so it's probably more like 3 weeks. Manifestation gifts. Now, these are gifts of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, these gifts became available to all believers. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 12. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, Holy Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is in Christ. Manifestation gifts. Right there. Yeah. So these, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, these are available to you. And the cool thing about these is, unlike the motivational gifts, you can have multiple ones of these. You'll find that there are some that come easier over... I'll just use Claudia because she's the closest to me and I can say in confidence what I'm saying. Over her journey of the Holy Spirit and gifts and stuff, she's found out that healing is up there for her, right? It's your thing. So there are some that come easier to us and we're like, man, I really feel that. But it encourages us to practice all of them. These are all available for everyone. I think that there are many dormant manifestation gifts in the church today. You know, there's lots of words of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, tongues. You know, just through what I've noticed, and I could be wrong, I see, but you know, light on like miracles, interpretations of tongues. I don't even know anyone that interprets tongues. And the discerning of spirits. You know, so that tells me that there's some dormant ones there that we're like, oh, I don't know if I'll try that. I've made it my business to try some of these other ones. We have a discerner of spirits amongst us, you know, which is so cool. Ugh. But if those other ones, that's your thing, like, yep, that's my thing, I urge you to try the other ones. You know, because all of these are vital parts, remember? To that mean-ass running body. All of them. The interpretations of tongue, I bet, is some sort of mean ligament. That once is activated, we're like, oh my gosh! That is the ligament that we've been looking for. So, yeah, if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, do that, because all of these wonderful things are available. Empowering, remember, you'll be empowered. Fanning that flame. Ah, all right, so ministry gifts. Hang on. I've jumped my... No. Ministry gifts. These are the gifts that were given by Jesus to the body of Christ when he ascended to heaven. these gifts are not so much gifts, but are people. These are gifts to the church. And the purpose of these gifted people is to build the church and to bring believers to maturity. So we're going to go to Ephesians 4, 1, 6. No, it's right there. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, you know, the teachers and this and that, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, as he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions of earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So these are the ones that are up here trying to fan into flame all the other parts, trying to bring us all together so that we can become that well-oiled machine. These aren't available to like everyone. These are like God chosen. This is Jesus' gift to the church. And it's not always just the leadership. You're like, nah, those are the five at the top. No, it's not. It's not. To equip the saints for work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, a mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So again, I say, every one of you, every single part is vital. I really want to nail that home, because a lot of people are like, I'll just sit on the thing. You are vital. Don't be a dormant part. The truth is, in church these days, some of them aren't completely complete. And you may think it's kind of complete. Oh, they don't need me because they're quite complete. But what you'll find in church today is that there is someone who is a knee. That's who they are. They know they're gifting. They're a knee. But they can see that the church is missing an elbow. The elbow just hasn't come forward. The elbow is dormant. So you'll find that you've got knees being a knee and also being an elbow. You find people that are feet, that's who they are, also having to fulfill maybe a hand or something. So you find that there's a lot of churches that the body is complete, but not with all the parts, because you've got other parts of the body that are having to double up on things. And the danger of that is you're still complete. Like, how's your church going? Oh, it's good. Powerful as arm, because you don't have that gentleness that the elbow needs. And that's where you've got like the hand saying, you know, where you get upset, like, oh man, I don't know if that person was kind of right for there. It's because you've got a big powerful knee where a nice subtle elbow should be. You've got a foot that's having to step in as a hand. You know, so you're like, oh, I like that church, but they don't quite have that gentle touch. Well, because we've got a foot being 2 feet and also a hand. I know it's weird, but when you actually think about it, you know, and the sad thing is that there are knees, elbows, and feet that are sitting there that don't even know it. Yeah. We've got every single part of the body available for us. You know, so that's why I urge you to find out. Sometimes you don't know exactly what you are or where you fit in. I had to do a few things. And being my character, I was like, yep, that's me, yeah. And then I found out, oh, okay. And I kind of went into and found what part of the body I was. And that's how we operate here in C3. This isn't a sales pitch just to try and get you to do things that we don't want to do. Or to get the dumb jobs. Like, Glenn, these dumb jobs, I really want to pass them on. We need to find people to fill those dumb jobs, okay? This isn't like that. This is to empower you. Because you feel empowered when you find out what you are, what you're good at. And all of a sudden, you're like, man, I'm not like that because Dad didn't buy me a pony or whatever. I don't know. It's like, that's my gifting, how I am. You know, it's not soft because I'm weak, it's because of mercy. I feel when people are hurting. It makes a whole lot of clarity. You know, our motto in here is everyone do one thing. And it's so much better playing volleyball at the beach than watching. It is so much better. And when we serve, that's when we become family. Yeah. When you serve, you know, you people find out you're at church, you're like, what church are you with? Like, you're like, I'm a part of C3. You know, you're excited, there's excitement there. Not like, oh, I go to this one, it's not too bad. You really feel a part of something. And it's be a cheerful giver. God's got you. There's nothing more I would rather do than serve and do what I'm doing. And that is honestly, I feel empowered. Where before I was all confused and, Dad didn't buy me a pony. I'm weak. You know, why am I argumentative? I'm a teacher / music, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. So sign up. Today is our sign up day. This is the opportunity to become part of it, to grow, to become empowered. There are a few areas that we need. We need multimedia, you know, the filming side of things. And we talked about AV, children's church, intermediate. Woo-hoo! You might be that vital ligament that's going to make this church run.
Yeah, come on.
You know, we're doing our best. We're, like, we're going along, we're doing our best. You might be that ligament that's just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That ligament that we've been missing. That's you. You're vital.
Yeah, come on.
All right. So we have actually, we've got the sign up. Count me in here. Look. Count me in. And again, this isn't just to drag you in to do dumb jobs. This is to empower you. This is to be a part of us. So I urge you, we're going to pass these around. We're going to sing a song. If I could have the band up here, we're going to sing a song. And I advise you just to put your name down. Just to do something. Just jump in. Just give it a try. Because no doubt the devil will be saying, oh, don't do that. You know, kids have got basketball, this and that. Once a month is all we're asking for. And I know that it's going to empower you. And also, if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, come and get baptized.